You're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Stand Out with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Ireland's youngest thalidomide survivor, John Stack. John said that they can't wait any longer in their 61-year battle with the government for an apology and adequate compensation. Thalidomide, a drug used to treat morning sickness, was prescribed and also sold over-the-counter without prescription to pregnant women in Ireland in 1959. Over 51,000 packets of Santanon, the biggest seller in Ireland, were sold here in 1961. The drug caused thousands of miscarriages, and babies who survived the pregnancy were born with catastrophic injuries, missing or foreshortened limbs, organ damage, deafness, and painful nerve-ending damage. Sit back and enjoy the show. John, thanks a million for coming today to me. How are you keeping?
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're doing good, are you?
Doing my best.
Fresh off the...
Working hard.
We're talking about there after the Late Show Friday night. Mm. Was that your first time on the Late, or were you on...
It was the first time on the Late, but I have years of experience with RT, like...
Really?
Different things.
How do you find it above it, Ryan?
Mad.
Yeah.
He's wired.
He is.
The moment. He's wired, but he's very genuine.
Very
sound. But he is totally wired.
Yeah. I remember when I was above, it was in April of 2018. So after my accident, I was on talk about my own story.
Yes.
But you know when you're sitting up on the stage, you don't realise how close the audience are, so you don't.
Exactly.
They use kind of like a wide lens camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's mad. It's all good up there anyway.
Which is great. Great opportunity, like,
yeah.
To get the voice out,
yeah,
and bring up the mothers, like, and everything, you know.
Exactly. That, because I had heard about the scandal obviously going on,
mm-hmm.
but it's when you heard the mothers talking then,
yeah,
and the it kind of really hit home, didn't it?
It brings it home, doesn't it?
It does.
Which is great that they're healthy enough to go there, like.
That's the thing.
God bless them.
That's the thing.
There's still five mothers still alive.
Five.
We brought two of them then.
Speaking on the Late Late Show, Ryan Tuberty, last Friday night, another thalidomide survivor said this.
Can I say this directly to camera?
Please.
Is it this camera?
That's it.
I think that the Irish public have been extraordinarily supportive. I see that from our Parents' Day as well. And we are so honoured to have Peggy and Mary with us, and we love them. We are a thalidomide family, and it means the world to us. But the group of unacknowledged also mean the world to us, and we need to work on them. So all we are asking for, draw a line now. This didn't happen on your watch, but you are the custodians of the state's stance to solve this problem. So simply acknowledge the wrong, apologise for it, welcome the unacknowledged, and plan for our future with a fair deal.
Well said.
That's it.
Well said. Well said. And you have the support of the public.
It's good. No, it was great. It was very eye-opening to have the mothers above.
Yeah.
Do you want to, I'd like to start off asking the guests about their own childhood growing up and stuff. Do you have any brothers or sisters, or did you...
Four sisters. One did.
Really?
There's three left.
There's three left,
yeah. That was four in there.
And you,
when
you
were... No brother.
No. When you were growing up, did you have any interest in... You're obviously farming now and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you grow up on a farm?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. And, From a young age, did you always have an interest in it?
I had a course, yeah.
Yeah. Growing in a what was it? Dairy farm?
Beef,
or was it
beef farm.
Beef.
Because it wouldn't be practical for me to operate a dairy farm, putting up clusters and things. That wouldn't be practical.
Yeah. And your dad obviously ran it at the
my
start.
My uncle.
Your uncle.
My father was a butcher.
Butcher, really.
Mm.
Really. And did you, when you started getting into it first, were you, what age were you when you got a real interest in it?
Yeah, sure. I was there from the time I was a baby, like.
Yeah, it's kind of instilled in you, I suppose, from a young age.
Yeah.
When you were growing up, when did you notice that there was, when you were say different to other people, from a young age?
As you know, going to school, but in fairness to my schoolmates, they never made an issue out of it. Like.
Really, they're fairly adaptive about
they
it.
Were, yeah.
And friends and stuff growing
no
up
hassle.
No hassle.
I was a mucker for years and everything, you know.
And did you have any interest in watching sports and stuff, or
everything?
Bar cricket. Yeah. Same as myself. So Did was your mom on the farm? Was she working in the farm?
No. My mum and dad ran a butcher shop in Glen.
And
my aunt and her husband was on the farm with me.
Really? Yeah. Really? Did you have cousins as well?
They were really. They had no family.
No family.
And I had cousins, all right, but the particular people had no family there.
Really? For the listeners out there now, that they like everyone's heard of the Tillamite scandal over the years.
Mm.
For the people out there that don't know, do you want to give us an explanation what exactly the Thalidomide was and what?
Thalidomide was a drug for morning sickness in women.
Yeah.
Pregnancy. And it depended on the day they took it. It depended on the level of handicap.
Yeah.
That limb deformity that came with it and different things. Limbs and arms and legs and ears and hearing and different things like that, like.
And did you have any, was it just limbs for you?
Just limbs for me, yeah. Legs are fine.
Mm-hmm. And nerve damage as well, I was reading up, was that a part of it?
Not with me. Not other people might have it, all right, like.
Really? There's, so I suppose growing up there was the cervical check scandal, the thalidomide, and I suppose the mother and baby homes.
Nursing home thing and all that kind of thing, yeah.
Would they have been the big three, really?
That would have been, yeah.
And you represent, is that 40? I've written now 40 survivors in Ireland.
There's 40 in total. 30 acknowledged and 10 unacknowledged.
And you're the...
Acknowledged.
And are you the youngest of
them? I'm the youngest of the acknowledged.
Yeah.
But you see, if they took off the drug, if they took it off the market on the 30th of November 61, I wouldn't be here in front of you today.
Was it 7 months after your mom took
it? Yeah, 7 months after she took it, like. And they should have taken it off, like. Well, I was born in January 63, so she must have taken it sometime around May, June or something, we'll say. I don't know exactly the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I never asked her.
And do you know the way there is 40 and there's only so many recognised? Why is it that the other people aren't recognised? Is there a reason for that?
There isn't at the moment. There is, they're checking it out, like, and they're sending them for tests, but they're not recognised, no.
Not recognised. And the woman that was on the Late Late with you there on Friday night, she's obviously one of the recognised, is she?
She's recognised, yeah. She's our secretary, our spokesperson.
Of the Thalidomide. And I suppose, from all the other 40 and the 31 now that are there, have you grown kind of a friendship with all them?
We'd know a share of them.
Really?
I'd know a share of them. I know the ones that'd be coming to the meetings and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But should you, like, it's like every other organisation, there are people who don't come to meetings, like. I just know the ones that come to meetings, like.
Yeah. And is it that the people that don't come to meetings, have they just kind of given up on it? Or why do you think some people have given up on it?
Some people go out in public, like, and I'm here today with you. Some people go out in public and push themselves out, more people don't.
It's a voice.
Yeah.
It's a voice. And from the last couple of years going through, it's only 60 years now, was that year?
60 years, yeah.
60 years and nothing?
Nothing, no.
Nothing from the government at all?
No.
It has 10 different names I was reading, and it was sold in a tablet.
Saftalen.
Kind of a syrup as well, was it?
It was.
And was the tablet and the syrup, is that two different kind of variations that were sold in?
Just different ways of manufacturing it, like.
Really? Where was it? Germany it was manufactured?
Germany, yeah.
Germany. And do you know when you were
company
saying...
company was Gunnenthal.
Gunnenthal. And when it was continued sold in Ireland, was it stopped in, say, the USA and everything, was it?
Well, in fairness to JFK, he stopped it.
Really?
His Minister for Health stopped it. In fairness to JFK, no.
And
he was the only one of the world leaders who stood out and blocked it.
Go away.
Mm-hmm.
And was it all over the other world then?
It was, yeah.
Is there any figure of how many people altogether in the world have it?
There is a figure somewhere, I think. Is it? I could be wrong, no. 3,500, I think. But Fionnuala would have the figure for her if we wanted to text her on that.
Yeah, yeah. And she was saying on the late last night, it was kind of like She described it like a wrecking ball to the embryo, was that?
Exactly, that's what happened, yeah.
And
it depended on the day you took it, whether your hands were shot, your legs were shot, or you had no ears or whatever else. It depended on the day, like.
How come it was on the day it decided?
But you're going to science now, like, Ian.
Yeah.
That's what we were told. It depended on the day. If it was day 20 or day 30 or day 40 or pregnancy or whatever, 50 or whatever.
Yeah.
Depending on the day. That's the way the wrecking ball came in, like.
And it wasn't tested at all, like, was it?
No.
No.
And it was designed by German scientists, like, for the Nazi concentration camps.
What was that it?
That's where it all started. If you want to go right back to the start of it, like.
Start, and it was about, do you want to just touch on that? It was started back then. What year was that, you know?
I would assume that must be sometime around during the Second World War.
Back, must have been back.
They were testing it, I suppose, on the people in concentration camps. That's what we assume, like, we don't know, but it was there. That was supposed to be the original
There was nothing guaranteed. And like you were saying, it wasn't tested at all. What year did it come into Ireland, do you say? Or do you know?
We don't know, but it was supposed to be taken off the 30th of November 61, and it wasn't.
61. And you could buy it without prescription, could you?
You could, yeah. Over the counter.
Now, if you want to get in contact with me throughout the show with any questions or requests, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. We're going to go for a very quick ad break. Don't go anywhere. Lots more to come here on Radio Kerry. We'll be straight back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell. I'm here today with Ireland's youngest thalidomide survivor, John Stack. If you're just joining us, the full interview will be up on the Radio Kerry website in the podcast section after the show, or you'll be able to get this interview, as well as all the shows I've done so far, on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Stand Out with Ian O'Connell. And when I was doing a bit of research about it, is the drug there, was it used for cancer treatment or something?
Recently, yeah. Because I know someone who got it about 7 or 8 years ago as a cancer treatment. Just still available for cancer treatment.
And like, for you to know, like, what everyone, yourself and all of them have gone through, to know that it's still on the market for cancer treatment, do you think that's mad in one way, or?
I suppose it's unusual, but the fact that if it helps people
for cancer treatment, I suppose,
if they get, God forbid, if the misfortunes, if they get any bit of ease from it, like,
yeah,
so long as they know if they're pregnant or something, they can't take it, you know,
they can't take it, like,
that's
they,
fine,
they know now there is side effects. I've written down there was 90,000 babies died as a miscarriage and at birth, was it?
So we're led to believe.
So there's no guaranteed figure, though.
There's no guaranteed figure.
And was it, have you spoken to people at their moms that had miscarriages?
No, I haven't.
No.
I haven't. I personally haven't.
No.
But maybe other people have.
Have. And was there, in Ireland, there's no number for how many miscarriages in Ireland, was there?
No, there's no number, no.
No number. And the 5,000 of the 10,000 who survived didn't live the first year, was it?
So I'm led to believe.
There's no numbers once again.
No numbers once again, no.
And were you saying later 51,000 packets were sold?
Something like that.
Something like that,
yeah.
There's no guarantee. It's often and sold in 1961.
61.
Have you received how many deaths altogether already, no?
I don't know. Is there any verified figure?
No.
I don't think there is, no.
Nothing. And you think after so long it'll come out that there is, or?
Probably will in time. All these things come out in time, like.
Yeah. When you were above, why do you think that it is that the government aren't speaking out? Is it they're afraid of financial? Have you any idea?
Well, my experience of the government for years, I've been experienced with the government for years, they'll do what they have to do.
Yeah.
I know only what they have to do. Yeah. They won't do anything more.
How does that... That must drive you mad, like, the last 60 years.
It was, but that's how the government operates, like.
Yeah.
It's the same with all kinds of society. They'll do exactly what they have to do.
What they have to do, what they want to do. You were examined by a you were saying on the late in 64. Mm-hmm. A German doctor, was it?
74. Yeah.
And did they come over from...
They came over from Germany, yeah. And they poked and prodded and...
Go away.
Everything. Trying to make sure that we were... I mean, some people passed and more people didn't. And the 10 unacknowledged are still out there, like.
Is that how it happened?
Well, at different stages now. Maybe not in 74, but in different stages over the years, they have been trying to establish the 10 more, like.
10 more. Do you think they will come out over time?
Hopefully. But we'll keep fighting for them anyway.
Keep fighting.
Because they deserve it, like.
Oh.
And some of them are much younger than me, actually.
Really?
Some of them are younger than me. I'm the youngest of the acknowledged.
Acknowledged.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Things
so
like...
they left it there. Do you see, that was too much power. You don't remember it, obviously. I don't remember either, like, I was too young.
Yeah.
But there was too much power in those days by the church and state. Like, the church was ruling the state.
Back then?
Back then, yeah.
It's totally different now. Like,
totally different now, yeah.
And was that girl that was on the Lele, what was her name again with you?
Finola Cassidy.
And she was with the German doctor as well, was she?
She was, yeah.
She was. And are all the, say the, are you in contact with the unacknowledged people?
Oh, we are, yeah.
And are they, you're all still kind of working as a...
Work together.
As
work
a group,
together,
yeah.
Trying to bring them into the fold.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have nothing at all got, like.
Nothing.
No recognition of any sort got, like. So we have to make sure that they're looked after as well as ourselves.
Yeah. All in it together. Mm. And when you are all in it as a group together, have there been... Obviously, I don't remember back 20 years ago, not to mind, 40, 50.
Yeah.
Have you been campaigning, protests and stuff, or has it been just kind
of speaking out? We generally keep it going every November.
November?
For the anniversary of the withdrawal, like.
Is that November when it happened?
Yeah, on 30th of November. It was when they were supposed to withdraw it and they didn't.
They didn't.
Uh-huh.
And that was in 61.
Yeah, 61.
And you were born in 63?
63, yeah. January, yeah. 63, yeah.
63.
About 14 months later.
14.
14 or 15 months later.
And do you think it's the, like, it's a, is it the government or the politicians, do you think, that are at fault?
Of what?
From back when it happened. That are at fault for not, say, giving you what you want. It's hard to say, isn't it?
I mean, we've been dealing with 25 different ministers of health.
25
of them over the last 60 years. So it is very hard to pinpoint one person. So the only thing you can pinpoint is the civil service, like.
Yeah, and who's there at the moment?
At the whole time.
Yeah.
The civil service have been there before the state was born, like. So they have been there the whole time.
That makes it even crazier, thing, isn't it? That they've been there the whole time, like.
Yeah, the permanent civil service, like.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the same with all walks of life, like.
All other scandals
everything,
stuff.
And everything, all walks of life, like. The civil service controlled the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the politicians will stand up and they'll make speeches and they'll turn water into wine for you and all that kind of thing. But when they go in, then they're...
Totally different.
They're totally... They're melted. They melt them down when they go in.
Yeah.
Those people melt them down when they go in, like, and they'll send it out their way.
People at power kind of... They take over when them people go back in, do they?
Yeah.
They melt them down.
When the ministers go in. And, I mean, when they stand up in the soapbox outside the church gates...
Yeah.
Looking for votes. They're fine. And they're still fine.
Yeah.
They're still genuine. But just when they go in, then they're totally controlled.
Totally controlled.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to get in contact with me throughout the show with any questions or requests, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. We're going to go for a very quick ad break. Don't go anywhere. Lots more to come here on Radio Kerry. We'll be straight back after these.
Stand Out with Enoconnell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Enoconnell. I'm here today with Ireland's youngest thalidomide survivor, Jan Stack. I hope you're all enjoying the interview so far, and it's a crazy story and a massive scandal that's been going on for 61 years, as I said at the top of the show, because to see people that have gone through so much in their life, born people having miscarriages, people born with shortened limbs and everything, it's awful to see, and let's just hope that they get an apology and adequate compensation off the government soon. And when I was doing a bit of research, there was is there two different supporters that are kind of supporting you? Is it I've written down here the Labour leader Ivana
Bacik,
yeah, and the Social Democrats co-leader Róisín, is it?
Róisín Seachtain.
And is it, are they kind of standing by you, saying that you should get the what you need? Is that how?
Well, they are, yeah. But sure, all the politicians are backing us. Like, all sides, in fairness, no, they're all backing us. And in government and outside of government, and when they were in opposition, they're all backing us. And it's when they go in, like, I mean, we're very grateful to Róisín and to Ivana Bacik. But if they were ministers in the morning, would they be controlled just the same as everybody else? Like,
that's the thing.
That's the problem, yeah.
And over the last.
We're grateful to them for all the help they've given us now.
Yeah, yeah. And you show, like, even though speaking out about it, saying that you are grateful, it is showing that you are, over the last 60 years, when it's been all, say, Stephen Donnelly, the Minister for Health, there last couple of years, and over the last 60 years, have they made any sort of a comment or an apology, any of them?
No. But Stephen Donnelly was the same as them when he was in opposition. He was the same as Ivana Bacik and Róisín Seachtain. He was supporting us too. But then when he got transformed, he became minister, like.
Really? And was the last Saturday Leo Varadkar said he was sorry for those affected in a statement or something?
I'm shocked at Leo, actually. I'm shocked at the Taoiseach. Because he's a doctor, he should know better.
Out of all of them?
Yeah, he should know better.
Yeah.
He should know better. He should know exactly what we've gone through, like, as a doctor. I'm shocked that he's letting himself be taken in by this, like.
Yeah. Because we've seen there when he was at the start of the pandemic, he was Taoiseach, wasn't he, before Martin.
He was Minister for Health at one stage as well.
At one stage, yeah. And out of all of them, you think that he had the...
Yeah.
Do you know?
As Minister, of course, yeah. And as a doctor. This is what shocked us. And I was disappointed with his comments on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
In Galway.
How have you spoken to the other people in the thalidomide group? How did it make them feel?
Oh, they're shocked. They're totally shocked with him. But his attitude, like.
And did Micheál Martin make any comments when he was Taoiseach? No?
Well, he met us. He was sympathetic enough, no, in fairness. They're all grand, like, when you meet him.
That's not enough, though.
That's not enough.
No.
I mean, sympathy doesn't boil the pot, like.
Yeah. Do you know, when they're saying it to you then face to face, they're sympathetic. But then when it goes, like you said, inside in government, like, kind of they melt them down.
I mean, I've sat across the table from all the ministers and down through the years. I've sat across the table from them and I've hammered the table, like.
And have they met up with your family and stuff as well?
Sorry?
Have they met with you, the whole family?
They haven't, no.
No,
family haven't been involved in it at all that much.
State of the group.
The group I'm talking about. The group. They have met all the group, all right now.
Together, yeah. Yeah, and when I was doing the research, like I said, you were offered compensation in 2009, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And that was obviously refused.
Do you see, the problem with that was, it was one size fits all, and one size doesn't fit all.
No.
I mean, Papa, do me now, Ian wouldn't do you.
Yeah.
Do you know? I mean, in fairness, you can't give the same compensation to two different people. Like.
Everyone, like.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's so many different variations of limbs and ears and stuff, and there's so many different variations. From when you were young, growing up and stuff, going through the whole thing, to now, have you seen a massive change in, like, things to help with adaptability and stuff, like, to help you, say, for the likes of you now driving, how does that work?
It works fine for me, because I always drove a stick shift.
Yeah.
No, I'm driving automatic because my back was given out, like. And actually I drive a machine at the moment, just a standard automatic, that's all.
Really?
Yeah.
And when you're on the farm as well, how's that working? say with the getting around and stuff?
It works fine because I generally had somebody with me over the years, like.
Yeah. Do you use the, because I've spoken to a few people now that have gone through, say, cancer treatment and stuff, they've had things that help them. Do you think that the farm is, it can be a form of therapy sometimes to kind of help?
Of course it can.
Source of freedom, like?
Of course it can, yeah.
Now we're going to go for our last ad break. Stay tuned in to Radio Kerry because there's lots more to come in the last part of the show. We'll be straight back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry. Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell. I'm here today with Ireland's youngest thalidomide survivor, John Stack. I hope you're all enjoying the interview so far, and it's a crazy story and a massive scandal that's been going on for 61 years, as I said at the top of the show, because to see people that have gone through so much in their life, born people having miscarriages, people born with shortened limbs and everything, it's awful to see, and let's just hope that they get an apology and adequate compensation off the government soon. Do you have any other things that say help you go out for a walk or anything?
I'm stuck in meetings day and night, like.
Yeah.
I was at one last night and I'm at two again tonight. I'm all day tomorrow again. I'm all day on the road, like, every day.
It consumes it, like, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I'm all day at meetings of some sort. But I have a lot of work outside of thalidomide, like.
Yeah. And when you, like we mentioned there at the start, you were on the IFA.
Mm-hmm.
How involved were you in with that? How?
I went right to the top there. I went to the National Chair of Animal Health.
Really?
Uh-huh.
How would you find that?
Good.
Good, yeah.
Back in 2001, you weren't probably born at the time.
No.
Mm-hmm. I was Chair of Animal Health. We closed down the country, Jordan Foot and Mouth and all kind of thing. Oh, it was grand now. It was grand. You were on the go the whole time, like.
Yeah. And the, when you, you're not there anymore, are you?
I am, yeah.
You're still there?
I'm still with the IFA.
And you're still as involved as...
I am still, I was having a meeting here in Tralee last night, actually.
Still as involved in it as ever.
Yeah.
Take the... I've written down here, when I'm driving, like we were talking about my situation there,
mm-hmm.
driving cars and stuff, the stick shift, that's how we kind of drive it as well. It's kind of like a push start, and it's similar for a lot of you as well, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. No, hopefully now that has given a bit of a word out there, and hopefully that something will come out about it, and hopefully in time. You've been offered no, say like...
No, nothing yet, no. We're still waiting to see what will happen.
No, like medical, nothing?
No.
Nothing? Do you think it's only a matter of time that it will...
I think they're waiting for us today, myself, no.
Do you think?
To be blunt with your listeners. They're wearing us out, like, to see would we just leave the pitch, like.
Go away. To think about that.
It's the same with every, all parts of society, like.
Yeah, all different scandals, all different.
To see what just people just die away and
yeah.
melt away.
Yeah, and you won't give up.
No.
Keep fighting.
We will not give up. As Fanola said the other night, we will not give up.
Like. Yeah. Have you noticed that you've had a lot of support from members of the public?
Oh, we have, yeah. What is everywhere I go, even since Friday night, everywhere I go like this.
Always,
yeah.
Always. And do you think even people, say, all up around the country and stuff, like, you've seen the response you got after the audience last night, mm-hmm. the clap and stuff, and like Ryan Tuberty said, they're all behind you?
Well, they are, yeah. In fairness to the general public, they're great. And in fairness, you know, they're very good, like.
And when you hear all the support you get, does that make you want to keep fighting even harder then?
Of course it does.
Knowing even the backing of the people.
It does, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, it's an awful way to think that they're only waiting for you to die, to pass it on.
Yeah.
So no, hopefully that it'll come about. So thanks a million for coming
Thank
today.
You, Ian.
And I'm delighted to get the chance to talk to you, and hopefully that, like we said, the word will get out there, and it's only by doing these sort of stuff and on the late speaking out that it'll sort itself.
We have to keep driving on.
Exactly. So no, thanks a million for coming today, John.
Thanks, Ian.
Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I appreciate you tuning in as always. A massive thanks to John for coming in tonight for a chat about his own life and story. It's a crazy story and a crazy scandal, like I said, and let's just hope they get an apology for the people that are living with it now, that they get an apology and adequate compensation for the consequences of what went wrong and what their life is now and what they're going through, because it's sad to see that what happened to them could be prevented, and let's just hope it's all sorted soon. If you have any questions or requests for next week's show, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie.